This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Many scientists today agree that race is a social construct with no biological meaning. Yet we're asked on everything from school applications to employment forms to declare our race. The recently released documentary, Mourning the Creation of Racial Categories, explores how the practice of categorizing race began in America and what effect it continues to have on both individuals and society. Northern Kentucky University Professor of Sociology, Dr. Joan Ferrante, and a group of NKU students produced the documentary, which will have a screening this Saturday at the National Underground Railroad Freedom Center. And she joins us this afternoon with National Underground Railroad Freedom Center Interim President Dan Hurley to discuss the consequences of categorizing race in America. You can be part of the conversation at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Joan and Dan, thank you for both being here today.
Good to be here, Mark. Appreciated.
Joan, where did this all start? I mean, how old is the history of categorizing by race in this country?
Well, in the film, we make it 1607 with the founding of Jamestown. And we look at, I don't think many people realize how big a crop tobacco was and how it launched the budding colonies into the global economy. And it was really a search for labor and a way to control labor by those that were, I call them the planter elite, plantation and planter elites. So they were outnumbered by the laborers, and it was a way to divide people so they wouldn't, unite and overthrow is the way I look at it.
So this starts in 1607. It's codified throughout the throughout history.
Yes.
And written into law more and more.
Yes.
And that's how we came to
yes.
To
race
this.
Starts to matter. Laws were put in effect that deliberately separated people and advantaged some and disadvantaged others.
Mm-hmm. What prompted you to put this documentary together with your students?
I had been thinking about racial categories since 1996, and I wanted some way to make it alive for people that they really understood what it meant, how the categories were created. And the theme of the film is that they are created out of separation, loss, and abandonment. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to illustrate that visually and in haunting ways so that we understand these categories are very painfully created.
And that's why you use the word mourning.
Yes,
I take
correct.
It. That's why you call this mourning.
Yes.
The creation of racial categories. Dan, how does this fit in with the Freedom Center? Why is this important for you to be showing this documentary?
Well, I think it's at the center of everything. And in fact, back in 1994, when we started planning the Freedom Center, this concept, although we didn't have it worked out the way that Joan and her colleagues have over the years, we posited even then that we ought to do that. And there's a famous book called How the Irish Became White. This isn't just about African Americans. This is about everybody in the United States, that race is a social construct. So we have created this concept of racial identity based on color. Nobody in Europe would have thought that the Irish and the English were the same thing. The English certainly didn't. They didn't see the Irish as human. The English and the French, or the French and the Germans, they were all different. You put them in the cauldron of the United States, what the Irish came to understand is they could end up being in the superior group, which gets named white. So how the Irish became white is parallel to how any group out of Africa became black, and we begin to codify these as if these races are fundamental things. And I think that's the really important part of what Joan's work is that it gives us a new way of talking and thinking about this whole huge category that is fundamental in American life.
And Joan, there's an interesting story, an interesting example from history that's in the documentary, and this is the story of Archie and Thomas, both of whom were slaves. And I wonder if you'd tell us about this story, because it is an interesting piece of
right.
history.
I use that piece to kind of draw the audience in. It's two enslaved men. One appears black and the other white. They are legally both classified as enslaved and black. And the two men run away together. And Archie is the white appearing, and Thomas is the black appearing. And when they come to a turning point where Thomas realizes that he is only going to hinder Archie's chance to get at freedom, and the two part ways so that Archie can go on and move into the white category, and Thomas stays behind and makes the best of things that he can. And that moment is a category-creating moment when Archie leaves because of his white appearance. He's legally classified as black and enslaved. He leaves that category and moves into the white category. And that's where the themes of abandonment, loss, and separation are how that's involved in the creation of racial categories.
Why was he classified as black if he appeared to be white? What did the law say back then about who was white, who was black?
Well, it's the old identity and condition came through the maternal line.
Because so through your mother.
The mother was. Or it eventually gets talked about as the one drop theory. If you have one drop of black blood, well, then you're black, therefore you are inferior. And all of that takes time for all of that to work out. But what we know is that in American history, that many people who were enslaved, many women who were enslaved, were forced to have relationships with white men. And actually, the variety of people and backgrounds just kept diversifying. And this idea that there are these two neat categories we can put people in just doesn't make any sense in reality. And one of the great things that I love about the documentary that Jones has created and her students is the opening sequence of family groups that show people that you might instantly say, well, they're not related, but then you find out, oh, they're all related. And they don't look like they ought to be related, be given the way our cultural training. This isn't just a legal thing. In fact, I don't even think this is fundamentally a legal thing. This is fundamentally a cultural issue that we all participate in, and it works on both the unconscious and the conscious level.
Right. Race was created without regard for family ties. And I see it as a story of families divided based on appearance into categories and separated. And even today, if we think about it honestly, when we see people who appear different races together and with children, it is almost as if they look at them as if they are in a zoo or something. I think it's very abusive the way we treat those families. Now, that's not to say I don't know any families that are very healthy. But they have worked hard and learned how to transcend the categorical system of the United States.
Joan, if race doesn't exist as a biological reality, why do so many people still believe in it?
It has a 400-year foundation, and it takes a long time to undo a 400-year idea. But all you have to do is think about who are the children. All the children that were created by people in different racial classifications, what do you do with those children? And our country decided what to do with those children, and they had to be one thing. And that right there tells you it cannot be biological if the people from different racial categories have children. By definition, they're both.
And I think this is as we have moved into the 21st century. And the intermarriage of people from various backgrounds has become more and more common. This becomes something that's much more personal to more and more people. And I think we need a new language to handle this. And I think that's another part of what's really healthy here, that Joan and others are providing us with this. And by the way, I don't even think it's just 400 years old.
It starts
deeply seated. There's a famous book published in the 1960s, White Over Black, by Winthrop Jordan, won the Pulitzer Prize, that talks about how the entire setup between contact between the Europeans and people from Africa, how all of that was conditioned by deep-seated, unconscious categories that had been created culturally long before about what does white and what does black mean in terms of good, bad, day, night. I mean, all of that stuff is just very deeply ingrained in us.
Mm-hmm.
513-419-7100. Bennett joins us now. Hi, Bennett.
Hey, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Preface this conversation, this comment by letting you know I am an African American person, but I wanted to address one of the Jones comments earlier in the conversation where she mentioned, and I'm not quoting you verbatim, but the idea that the French and the Irish had the same difficulty, if you will, as African Americans. So this is not necessarily a black or white issue in terms of race. The advantage that white folk, if you will, French, German, Jewish, Russian, Italian, whoever, have over black folks is they have the ability, first of all, to change their names. Black people can change their names, they're still black. And they're white. So if they chose not to identify, if you will, as Irish, it would be easy. You know, all they have to do is change their accent or don't say, you know, change their name. So I think it's when we address these conversations, these issues, and we attempt to make them to minimize what actually has happened and what is the result, the continuing result of what has happened, it's not honest.
And
it's not helping us in order to say, hey, we all got it that bad.
Yeah.
You know, Irish were slaves, you know, so-and-so was slave. No, black folks on the eve of the Civil War had less than 1%, one half of 1% of this nation's wealth. We still have less than half of 1%.
And Bennett, I think that Dan made that
original comment. You're playing off a statement that I made, not Joan. I wasn't trying to say that in any way. I was really talking about the European situation. If you're in Europe, I mean, French and Germans have been fighting each other forever and saw themselves as very different. It's when you come to the United States that you get a different clustering. And I agree with you that what was created in terms of the racial categories and the law that comes around to surround that and support it and the institution of enslavement that was created, those are all just feed into long-term white privilege. And we don't recognize it. In fact, in 1843, Daniel O'Connell, the great liberator of Ireland, writes to Cincinnati's Irish community and says, basically, what the heck are you people doing siding with the oppressors? You know, either come out of that country or stop calling yourself Irish. So they wanted to redefine themselves not as Irish but as white so they could get the privilege that went with that. I absolutely agree with your statement.
Jonah, you know, you're talking about how ingrained this is in our culture, in our society. So could we do away with those categories today? If we did away with them, how would we handle that?
Well, I don't think we can do away with the categories until we mourn their creation, until we understand really how powerfully they've affected lives. And as much as the categories don't make sense logically— until we do away with them for the right reasons, which I mean that we actually understand why we created them, and we actually—I honestly believe it—mourning is necessary. Then maybe we can think about change, you know, dropping the categorical system. But the categorical system right now kind of keeps a check on things, as flawed as it is. I mean, it's so flawed; it's ridiculous. But I don't want to change it for some reason like, oh, race doesn't matter. Let's let it go. Let's let it go.
Yeah. Are we too far along to ever change it, Dan?
Well, you know, the United States is still relatively new. And we have created what we've created. It doesn't mean we can't change it. I mean, we're a new society in terms of human history. So if this is the original sin of this deep-seated creating of categories or the racism, we have a long time, hopefully, to try to figure out how to change it. The problem is, under the current environment, the challenges seem to be that we're solidifying these categories and we're using them for our own political purposes. And I think that is another – I don't think we're necessarily at this moment really looking for ways to rethink this.
Joan, how did the students that worked on this, how did they react to the project?
Oh, they – I'll tell you, it's hard to describe this film in this short period of time. So people are going to, you know, just put their own take on what they think this film's about. But this film is about the creation of categories and how they were created. And the students, I've been writing about it for 20 years, and the students gave a new vision to what it is, to what it means. I cannot do justice to what they've done. I don't know if anyone's seen the artwork on the Freedom Center. One student created that artwork. When you look at it, you know why we have to mourn the creation of racial categories.
You know, as an old teacher, started out as a high school teacher, but have taught in universities for a long time too. It's the student voice here that is magic. Because what Joan pulled together was people from theater, from music, from journalism, from literature.
Dance, theater.
It is all of those things that come together. The only group she didn't seem to get were historians, which I have a problem with. But the point is, this is an incredible film with a lot of power that's going to be shown at Freedom Center this Saturday at 1 o'clock.
Well, Dan and Joan, thank you so much for joining me today. Northern Kentucky University Professor of Sociology, Dr. Joan Ferrante, and National Underground Railroad Freedom Center Interim President Dan Hurley. There's a link to more information about the film and the showing at the Freedom Center at wvxu.org.